Greetings and welcome to each one of you. It has truly been an interesting week, but praise the Lord that the Sabbath is here. The Sabbath is a memorial to the blessings that we are to receive every week. God rested on this day, and He blessed the seventh day. He set it apart, sanctified it. He gave it to all mankind as a memorial to not just His creative power, but of His redemptive and restorative power. It is a sign that He loves us, and it brings us, these next 24 hours, bring us into a special relationship and a special communion with the Creator. Now, our world is definitely not anything near to how it was when God first finished the creation week. Nature used to be in perfect harmony before sin entered the world. I'm reading from the book of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31, where it says, "And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." So prior to the institution of the Sabbath, God saw the creation. It was glorious. It was wonderful. There used to be a time where perfect unity and perfect peace existed in our world. There was a time when mankind was in harmony with His Creator, and our world was in perfect order. No misery, no pain, no death, no diseases, no droughts, no famine, no extreme weathers, no tornadoes. Oh no, brothers, God had a wonderful and beautiful creation. And I'm reading here from the Book of Education, page 21. It describes how Adam and Eve, God's original intent for His creation, is seen here in the Book of Education, page 21. Notice what it says. It says, "Often as they walked in the garden in the cool of the day, they heard the voice of God and face to face held communion with the Eternal." This is when mankind was complete. Here, the couple, the man and woman that God created, they were not running away from God. They were not turning their back towards their Creator. They weren't trying to implement a society away from God. No, friends, they were walking with Him. They had purpose. They had meaning in their Creator. And that's why God created us to begin with, so that we can have communion with the Eternal. God designed from the very beginning of time, before the foundation of the world, to be in harmony with the Eternal. This is why we were created, and we will never be satisfied in this world until we become one with our Creator. I'm reading from the book of Genesis chapter 3, verses 1, and then verse 4 and 5. And notice what happened in the garden, in this perfect paradise that God had prepared for the human race. And what we're going to read here in the book of Genesis chapter 3 is when God's perfect order was interrupted. We're going to read about when peace vanished from the earth, when pain and misery and death and destruction began to be introduced into God's perfect creation. Genesis 3:1 says, here the serpent says, "Yea, has God said, ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden?" The first point was, he placed doubt upon what God said. Hath God said? He attacked the surety, the clarity, the authority of God's word. He made it of none effect, and he's making it today of none effect, whether it's through skeptics who deny the necessity and the clarity of God's word, or through man-made tradition that buries the truth, God's word, upon a mountain of just human wisdom and human philosophy. So the first thing that the devil did is he put doubt upon the word. The second thing he did, we read in verse 4, it says, "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die." So he contradicted the plain word of God. First he cast doubt, then he brings open contradiction and violation to the word of God, and then he introduces his vain, fanciful sophistry. And here's what he says, "For God does know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." The final step was to introduce a counterfeit message. First, he cast doubt on God's word, then he contradicted God's word, and then he introduced the fanciful, vain philosophy that said, "You will be as God." He offered them something that's not found in any of the promises that God had given to mankind. And that, my brothers and sisters, is when God's perfect order became interrupted. That's where we see the pain and the misery and all the things which we see happening today. In fact, the devil has deceived, we're told in the book of Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, we're told that the devil has deceived the whole world. It says, "And that great dragon was cast out of heaven, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world." So the devil deceives the whole world, just as he did in the beginning in the Garden of Eden. And just as he contradicted God's word, today the devil is telling men and women that you don't need God's commandments. You don't need to obey your parents. You don't need to be faithful to your marriage vows. You don't need commitment to your children. It's not about what other people are telling you to do. It's about what makes you happy, what makes you feel good, what gratifies your desires and the flesh and the feelings. Oh, brothers and sisters, that is a lie. The same lies that the serpent gave in the garden are the lies that are permeating our society today. And what is the result? What is the result? Pain, misery, broken hearts, broken lives, broken minds, broken homes. Look at this world all around you. We're seeing the same results when God's perfect order was interrupted. God had previously warned Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. He says, "But of the tree of knowledge and good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now we know that further on in Genesis 5, verse 5, the Bible tells us that Adam lived 935 years and he died. But you know, Adam also died spiritually that day. The day that this couple sinned against God, they did die spiritually. They became alienated by sin, and they were separated from God. Something in their life went missing from within. There was no more peace. There was no more joy. There were no more of these walks and talks with God in the cool of the day and communion with the Creator. No, brothers and sisters, after sin entered into this world, man became void and empty. Something that was once filled by God was missing in the lives of humans. And sadly, because of this void that was created within mankind, today people try to fill this void, but there's nothing in this world that can fill it. People look to fame, they look to wealth, they look to pleasure, to liquor, to drugs, they look to the so-called festivities and events that are supposed to make people happy. But all those things are temporary, and they quickly become vanity, because it all comes to an end. The human heart needs something more, and nothing in this world can satisfy the yearnings and the desires for which we were created. Why? Because that emptiness that mankind has is to be filled by communion with his Creator. Because we are created as spiritual beings. You were created to be one with your Maker. I'm reading from the book of Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. It says, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So what happened here in the beginning is God formed dust. And brothers and sisters, that's all we are. That's all we are. We're dust from the ground. But what began to give that dust value was when the Creator took a breath, a deep breath, and he breathed his essence into the dust, into the nostrils, the breath of life. You know, every time you take a breath, think about this. Every time we take a breath, that breath originated in the book of Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. What a wonderful thought. And that breath of life has been transmitted for thousands of years. And the fact that we are born, the miracle of birth, is a continuation of God's original intent for man. And that is that we are a spiritual being. We have the breath of life. And that means that we are spiritual beings. And our needs are spiritual. Stuff will not satisfy. There is no peace apart from Jesus. There is no rest apart from God. Man keeps on looking to satisfy his or her longings, and they attempt to do it with physical things, and because it doesn't accomplish the fulfillment that comes through God, they seek a next level of sin, harder drugs, harder liquor, harder music, and it's never enough. The Bible calls it vanity if you don't know Jesus. If we are not one with our Maker, this sinful flesh can never be satisfied. Solomon is a perfect example of this truth. Solomon was one of the richest and the wealthiest and the wisest and the most prosperous kings who ever lived. Not just in Israel. No, brothers and sisters, Solomon was one of the greatest kings in the history of our world. But sadly, he took his eyes off the Lord. You know, that can happen to any one of us. If that is your case, then it's time for us to come back to our first love. Now is the time to make things right with God. Jesus is coming soon, and the terrible things that are coming to this world. Listen, you think this lockdown, this coronavirus, you think this is bad? Oh, brothers and sisters, we don't know bad. We don't know what it's going to be like when the seven last plagues begin to fall upon our earth. And woe unto those who do not have the seal of the living God, which is a sign of ownership, a sign of communion with God. It's a sign of ownership. But when Solomon took his eyes off of God, something went missing in his life. He lost his joy, and he tried to fill that emptiness with thrills and with things and with theories. Solomon tried to regain his joy again, and he sought for things in this life, stuff, physical things, that would make him happy. We're going to read from the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Solomon went through everything that any human being could ever possibly experience. He had power. He had prestige. He had fame. He had great mansions. He had the praise of men. He had great armies. He had the best food you can imagine, the best gardens, the best pools. and he had 1,000 of the most beautiful women from around the world who had ever walked on this planet. But yet, when we turn to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 2 in verse 17, we read his testimony, and it says, "Therefore, I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit." What was Solomon's testimony? He hated his life. It's all vanity. It's all empty. It's never enough. And stuff and physical things will never satisfy the yearnings of our sin-filled lives. We read in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, Solomon did recuperate his sanity. He did come back to the source of his peace, and contentment and happiness and purpose were restored once again in his life. Notice what he says at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 12 and verse 13. He says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Praise the Lord. That is all the God has required. All that God desires is for you to find purpose in your Maker. When we have God, we have everything that we need. Jesus put it this way, "Seek the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and then all these things." What things was he talking about? The stuff, the material things, the possessions, the houses and lands and food and clothes. All those things will come. All those things have their place and are necessary, but they have to be placed in their correct context. Seek God first and his righteousness. In fact, you remember when God first introduced himself to Abraham, way back in the book of Genesis, he says, he approached him and he said, "I am your shield and your exceeding great reward." What a wonderful promise that God offers to each one of us. He said to Abraham, "I am your reward. I am your great shield." When we have unison, when man is in unison with his Creator, there he will find contentment. And that is what we learn every week when we come to remember our Creator, who designated these sacred hours for communion with him. But you know, when man disobeyed, he didn't just die spiritually. After Adam and Eve rebelled against God through disobedience, a curse was also placed on earth, and our world changed dramatically. I'm reading from the book of Genesis chapter 3 and verses 17 through 19. It says, "Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, and dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. The effects of sin was observed not just in the first couple. The effects of sin was also observed in our natural world, in our earth. Our world was no longer a perfect creation. God's beautiful world, God's beautiful creation, was marred by sin. Our climate systems changed. Nature came under what the Bible describes as the bondage of corruption. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 20 and 21, it says, "For the creature," that's describing the creation, "was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." Our world was corrupted, and our world was cursed by sin. And that is why we see these destructive weather patterns. That is why we see the floods and the firestorms and the destructive hurricanes and the deadly tornadoes. All these are the destructive forces of nature that came as a result of sin. But it's not just nature that was affected. I'm reading from the book of Genesis chapter 9 and verse 2. It describes how a curse also fell upon the animals. It says in Genesis 9, 2, it says, "And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth." You see, there wasn't fear. There used to be unity, peace, happiness. But because of sin, fear, pain, and misery came upon the human race. And that same fear, the Bible says, shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, and upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. So yes, my brothers and sisters, our world is and has been deteriorating due to sin. Not just in the animals and the beasts, not just in the forces of the wind and the seas, but it's also manifested in viruses and plagues and poisonous plants that can hurt us. And you know, the coronavirus is just the most recent curse of 1,000 curses that have come into our world. But you know, the good news is, oh, this is wonderful. The good news is that the universe will be restored once again. This broken and unpredictable planet will be restored to the beauty of God's original plan. The God who created the heavens and the earth is a God of love and compassion. He is a God of law and order, and he has given us a memorial to remember him as creator of all things. You see that in the law of God found in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. All that we see today will be restored into everlasting righteousness when he comes again very soon. I'm reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 11 and verse 9. It says, "And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea." Yes, our universe will be restored. As described also in the book of Revelation, chapter 21 and verses 4 and 5. It says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." You know, instead of looking to this broken world for solutions and for answers, we need to turn to the Creator, who is so much more higher and holier and much more compassionate than anything that this world has to offer. Instead of moving further and further away from the Creator, why don't we embrace the one who has promised to restore our broken world with real peace and real harmony? Oh, when it says the former things are passed away, the day is coming when war, pain, suffering, and death and terror will forever be ended. And out of the ashes of this world, the Lord is going to create a new earth and a new heavens that shall never pass away. You know, sometimes we think that we really want to get out of this world. Sometimes we think that we've had enough of this place and we want to get out. But you know, our Creator has even a greater desire to take us out of this world than we ourselves want to go. I'm reading from the book of John, chapter 17, and verse 24. And notice the prayer that Jesus makes to his Father. He says, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Oh, brothers and sisters, Jesus wants to take us out of this world more than we want to get out. Jesus desires to see an end of sin and suffering more than we want to see an end of sin and suffering. And he wants those who belong to him to be with him, to have that communion face to face once again in perfect harmony with his creatures. What a wonderful and loving God we serve. It was our sin that not just separated us from him, but brought a state of condition that we see today upon the world. And Jesus is going to make a complete restoration. Oh, brothers and sisters, how can we refuse such a loving invitation? How can we say no? Or how can we say, tomorrow, Lord, not today? Oh, friends, when we say tomorrow, tomorrow never comes. The Bible says he stands at the door today. Behold, I stand at the door and knock today. If you hear his voice, we're reminded, harden not your hearts. Let us bow our heads. We thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. We thank you, Lord, that this day we can remember not just where we came from and what you're doing in our lives, but, Lord, of the glorious future that you have laid out for each one of us. Father, let us do all we can to make our calling and election sure. The enemy of soul has robbed us of our peace and our joy. But through the provisions of Christ, we are renewed once again into fellowship with you. O Lord, and we look for the day when you will come in glory and to bring an end to this world. Lord, help us to preach this gospel. Help us to take this message to every nation so that you can come in glory and bring an end to sin and misery and pain and death. That is our prayer and our desire. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.